very much. This is my first talk to a native English-speaking audience in quite a while. I just got back from Thailand about 7 days and 3 hours ago, so I'm a little bit nervous for some reason. But what I'd like to talk to you about is some data that I collected while I was in Thailand, just a small part of it. So learning in insects is considered to be sort of a ubiquitous quality. And in mosquitoes, olfactory conditioning, we would define it as associating an odor with a food source through a learning process. And there are a couple studies that have shown host-associated odor learning using mark recapture studies, where the mosquitoes would feed on a host and they were captured, marked, and they would return to that same host to feed. And also with carbohydrate-associated odors and sugar resources in Culex pipiens and in Culex quincafasciatus. The Anopheles diuris complex is one of the most important malaria vector complexes in Southeast Asia and in Thailand for sure. Anopheles diuris in Thailand consists of 5 species. 4 of those are considered major important malaria vectors, and one of those isn't. And for this study, I used Anopheles diuris B, or now known as Anopheles crescens. The Anopheles diuris complex is distributed throughout Southeast Asia. In this diagram, Anopheles crescens is located here in the southern portion of Thailand. But all these species are pretty much morphologically inseparable. There are a few small characters, but they tend to be variable. The interesting thing about the mosquitoes in these large complexes is the large amount of behavioral plasticity present. Anopheles feeding patterns and their host preferences can differ between the species, but also even among populations of the same species. They can differ in their degree of anthropophily, their feeding location, whether they prefer to feed indoors or outdoors, whether they prefer to rest indoors or outdoors, and their time of peak feeding. And their behavior often confers their vector status. So for example, if you had an anthropophilic indoor feeding, outdoor resting mosquito that feeds at night, insecticide-treated bed nets might be a better option for control. Predictive models are often used as a tool that allows for more focused malaria management efforts when deciding on what kind of control management to put into place. One example might be the vector competence equation, where behavioral feeding patterns are an integral part of that equation. And one of the questions we had was, could the inclusion of behavioral data on olfactory learning increase the effectiveness of this model? So the question I came to Thailand with was, do Anopheles learn to associate odors with a food resource? Which came out as this objective: can Anopheles crescens be conditioned to an odor associated with a sugar meal? To rear the larvae, they were reared on a finely ground tetrabits fish food, which was sprinkled on the top of the surface of the water. They had a 12-12 light dark cycle, composed of natural and artificial light. The adults were maintained on a 10% sucrose to 5% multivitamin syrup solution. And the males and females were aged about 3 to 5 days, separated from the main colony, and starved for 24 hours prior to the experiments. The experiments take place in the operating fume hood, where each mosquito is isolated in its own vial. They're allowed to feed from a sugar solution for a set period of time for a total of 3 trials. Then they're held overnight without access to sugar, but with a small amount of water. And they're tested the next day. Before we could get to the protocol, before the protocol was set for training the Anopheles diuris, or Anopheles crescens, wanted to know how long the males and females would feed. Here we have the time on the y-axis, and males or females in red, and we found that a training interval of 8 seconds seemed to be appropriate, and 10 seconds for the males. So this means that they were allowed to feed for, the females were allowed to feed for 8 seconds, followed by a 30-second resting period, and then they were offered the pipette with sugar and odor again for a total of 3 trials. The other thing we needed to know was the chemicals that we're using to train the mosquitoes. What was the innate response of the mosquitoes to those chemicals? And male mosquitoes did not respond to the odors we selected to use, which were myrcene and geraniol, whereas females tended to have a slight, naive females tended to have a slight positive attraction to the chemicals. For testing, we use the same similar protocol. And what I forgot to mention was that the outside of this pipette is coated in the odor. During training, there's a sugar solution, a 10% sucrose solution inside the pipette. During testing, that this is an empty pipette with the odor coated on the outside. They're allowed to, the odor-covered pipette is exposed to, the mosquito is exposed for 15 seconds, either to a blank, no odor control, to a non-target odor, which in this case was a geraniol, and to the target odor, which was myrcene in this experiment. And the response of the mosquito is recorded either as a positive response, where the mosquito actively searches for, moves toward the odor source and searches for their sucrose solution. Or actively moves away from the odor or does not make any movement. So our data, our collected data is binary. It's either positive or negative. So we use the binary logistic regression with the factors of the generation that the mosquito came from, the sex of the mosquito, the odor that was used to test the mosquito, whether that was the target, which was myrcene, the non-target, geraniol, or the blank control, and the time between training and testing, which generates log odds and predicted probabilities. So for the results, for the final binary logistic regression model, it stopped. We used backward stepwise variable selection. It stopped at the second step with a negative log likelihood of 69.67. The significant factors were the mosquito sex, significantly higher odds of males responding positively to the target than females after training. The odor used to test the mosquito was also significant, which we would expect to see with evidence of learning. There were significantly higher odds of mosquitoes responding positively to the target, the conditioned odor. And the regression of the individual sexes revealed a significant odds for the target odor was only observed in males. Now, if we look at, use the model to generate predicted probabilities, here we have mean predicted probability by the different test odors. There's a significantly higher probability that the mosquitoes will respond positively to the target odor, which is good. This is what we'd want to see if we want to see evidence of learning. If we look at the actual data look very similar. Significant more mosquitoes were positively responding to the target odor when they were offered it. So it seems that our model is matching our actual data pretty well. And here we can see the predicted probability of male and female Anopheles crassens. We can see the big difference between the response of males versus females. So males appear to be showing evidence that they learn the odor of myrcene in association with a sugar meal. Females failed to show evidence of learning. Naive females responded positively to myrcene and geraniol. However, after training, they failed to respond to geraniol. After exposure, And olfactory cues are a vital component of a female mosquito's life history. Previous work with Culex wincifasciatus suggests that females may have different learning abilities. There are other factors that could be important in observing learning behavior, and those would be the time of memory, the internal physiological state of the females. 3 to 5 days, they may be switching to a host-seeking pattern rather than sugar-seeking, and it may complicate our interpretation. And their sensitivity to the odors, because females use olfactory cues for so many different aspects of their life history, it may just be, it may be a difference in sensitivity, perhaps. Anopheles gambi in Africa, we know that that sugar feeding reduces blood meal frequency and thus has the potential to reduce disease transmission. And more recently, it's been shown that both males and females do take sugar meals. However, comparatively little is known about the natural sugar feeding habits of Anopheles in Southeast Asia. So one of the questions that I was asked actually when I presented these data in Thailand was, should we be planting flowers in order to reduce the blood meal frequency of Anopheles? But that's something we really don't have enough data yet about, the natural sugar feeding of Anopheles, but it might be an interesting, something I would like to look at in the future. Many, many people to thank for their help with not only with my dissertation research, which is focused on associative learning, but also at Chiang Mai University, where I was for my Fulbright grant, all the people who helped me there, and especially to the Fulbright Foundation in Thailand and the Fulbright, the branch of the Fulbright in the U.S. And I will be happy to bore you with a million pictures of Thailand if you have the time later today. And thank you for your attention.
We have time for a couple questions.
My question is, how much of the odors did you put on the tubes?
So the question is, how much of the odors do I put on the tubes? It's 100% myrcene or geraniol, and it's added to the last 0.5 centimeter of the distal end of the pipette.
Far back.
Why did you choose myrcene and geraniol?
I chose myrcene and geraniol. Myrcene has been used in previous studies with Culex micofasciatus. It's also used in training the parasitoid wasp Micropletus crecipes. It was something we'd worked with a little bit before. It's something we didn't think was innately attractive to the mosquito. Geraniol is something that in Culex micofasciatus has been shown not to be innately attractive. So we wanted something that wasn't going to have an innate attraction associated with it.
At high rates, both myrcene and geraniol can be insecticidal. Do you think this is a fundamental knowledge of the mosquitoes? They know they shouldn't get near something that has that high concentration?
So the question is, myrcene and geraniol, high concentrations are insecticidal. Do the mosquitoes have some kind of ability to detect that? With Anopheles crescens, and it is a lab colony, and they seem very tame, they didn't seem to react very strongly. With Anopheles minimus, which is another species I work with, seemed very innately agitated by it. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
One last question.
Do you plan to compare your results with wild-caught mosquitoes to see if there's a difference between the lab colonies and the wild mosquitoes?
So the question is, do I have plans to compare wild and laboratory populations? The initial plan was to collect wild populations from Thailand. I just didn't have enough time. It's something that I'm definitely interested in. I did have the opportunity with Culex micofasciatus to look at wild and lab populations, and it suggests there might be a difference. It's something I have plans to look at in the future.
Yeah, I believe that's all the additional time. Feel free to ask any of the speakers some questions. Let's see all.